You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and Big Time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host and special guest this week, Dr. Damian Kosempa. He is a St. Catharines grad. Do not hold that against him. You go to mymosh.com for more information. During the show, if you have any questions for Dr. Kosempa, you can tweet us, hashtag SportsMedRadio, and I'll get Dr. Kosempa to answer that question for you. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. It's been a while, and it's good to have you back in. Hey, can we talk a little bit about, born and raised in Racine?
Grew up in Racine, yep.
Yeah, and did you know early on, when you were at St. Catharines, did you know the direction you wanted to go in your life?
To some degree, yeah. I think I figured out pretty early on that I wasn't going to make a living playing sports and wanted to be involved somehow.
Grades were always really good, I would think, right?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was something important to my family, of course.
You know, we do a pick-and-save student-athlete of the week every week on my high school basketball coaches show, and it's interesting. The question that I have for them each and every week that they have to be prepared for is where their motivation came from for being such a good student-athlete. And it's interesting that you said, you know, that was always really important to my family.
Right. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily a linear path and, you know, things always happen and motivation wasn't necessarily always what it was later on. But,
sure.
You know, certainly I always feared my mother enough to right. always make sure I did what I needed to do and get things done on time.
Good for her.
Right. And still do.
Good for her. Yeah. I think that's awesome. When you went to college where?
University of Wisconsin. I'm a Badger.
You're a Badger. And early on there, did you take classes knowing the direction you're going
to
go?
Yeah, you kind of have to. You have right. to know pretty early on what path you want to be in to make sure you have all the prerequisites and get prepared for the entry exams and things like that. So you kind of have to figure it out within the first year or two which path you want to take.
How tough were those exams?
I think if you do the work and if you're prepared for them, just like anything else,
sure.
Just need to perform on game day.
Yeah, that's tough sometimes. And then a residency, you went to University of Pittsburgh
yep.
Medical School.
Yeah, I spent 5 years at the University of Pittsburgh. A great town, but really great orthopedic program.
It's a great city.
It is. It's really an underrated part of the country, in my opinion. And I went out there basically for the program, but really, really fell in love with the city. Enjoyed my time there. Big sports med program as far as research and taking care of some really high-level athletes. It's really one of the meccas of orthopedics in the world, and they're really doing great things out there. So I learned a lot.
And that's right on campus, Pittsburgh?
It is, yep. University of Pittsburgh, yep. Right in the city, and it's called Oakland. Great big hospital, big trauma center. A lot of good things going on out there.
I've been there a few times and fell in love with the city as well. In fact, the first time I went there, I flew on the Green Bay Packer team plane
nice.
To a Monday night game.
Nice.
And they got whooped by Cordell Stewart. And flying home was not a good flight. It just wasn't. It was a difficult In fact, when we drove on the buses to the airport, you never go through the airport. You go right to the tarmac, and you walk up all those stairs to get on the plane. And the bus is pulling, and guys just get out, and you just go. And Ron Wolf was ahead of me, and Fritz Schirmer, who was the defensive coordinator, is behind me. And we're walking up the stairs, and Ron Wolf stopped and started yelling at Fritz, who's behind me. And it was one of those moments where you think, man, I shouldn't be here.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. And it was like time stopped for a minute. And I just put my head down, and inside I was giggling, but I'm thinking, man, I shouldn't be hearing all this stuff. So, I fell in love with Pittsburgh. You came back then. You were at Chicago Medical Center?
Yeah, I've spent a bit of time at the University of Chicago doing some more subspecialty training in arthroscopy and sports medicine, worked with some of the really good guys down there who take care of the Fire and take care of the Bears and University of Chicago athletics. So I spent some time just sort of fine-tuning a few skills down there, and then came back home.
Did you know that circle was going to be complete? Did you know that you wanted to come back home?
I always knew that it was probably option number one, and mostly based on keeping the wife happy.
Sure.
You know how that goes.
I do.
But there's a lot to offer around here, and I enjoyed my time growing up here. I still have a lot of friends here, so it made a lot of sense.
Do you know, I've been doing this show now for a while, and Dr. Brian McCarty, and he announced this last week, so I'm not speaking out of turn, but he's moving.
Yes.
And he's going to be leaving Mosh, and we are going to, just so people understand, we're going to stop doing the show at the end of March and then come back in beginning of August and come back doing the show again during high school football. And I'm excited about that. We'll go from August through March and then take a break and then continue. And I think that that's great. And the show will be a little bit different, where I'll have not every week co-host, but I'll have a special guest and a co-host like you are right now. And I think it's important then that as we have you guys come in, that we introduce you to our listeners. And so they get a feel for who you are, where you grew up, and stuff like that, the personal side, which I think is really important. The sports medicine side, you knew early on that you wanted to get involved with, obviously.
I did, yeah. I think that was my primary motivation for getting into medicine, is to do something like this.
You're a sports fan?
Big sports fan, yeah. Big Badger fan, big Brewer fan. Mostly college sports, but I'll watch just about anything that's on. And my kids are getting big enough now where they're starting to play things, so
it's awesome.
Fun. Yep.
How old are your kids?
My oldest is almost 8, and then I have one that's 5 and one that's almost 3. So.
Man, you're busy.
Well, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I envy that. I do, and I tell people this. You know, we spent a lot of time with my son and my daughter while she was in grade school, and now they're grown, and I've got 3 grandsons that live across the street that are starting to get involved in some of this. But, boy, I miss that. Hey, we've only got a couple minutes in this segment. Can I ask you a few questions about some NBA players?
Yeah,
And Derrick Rose, who he's out again for a couple of days, it looks like. And I don't know what this is, but a left adductor strain?
Yeah, that's something that I just heard. I heard he didn't play last night.
Correct.
And it sounds like this is a new thing. But with Derek, it seems like it's just been this kind of nagging string of things ever since that ACL a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't know what an adductor strain,
it's kind of the groin, so the inside thigh muscle, either up near the groin or further on down the inside of the leg. But, you know, similar to a groin pull, just a muscle injury, either he tweaked it or an overuse kind of thing.
Boy, when you listen to Chicago sports radio, you know, they're getting a little bit fed up.
They were bagging on him this morning. I was just listening to those guys.
Yeah, they are. And I think, for me personally, and being a basketball coach, there's a difference between somebody not wanting to play with some pain and an actual injury. And he has some injuries that I don't think he's able to play it.
Absolutely. And when you're a guy that plays like he does, the explosiveness is such a key to your game that if something's off, he's not right. So I think the time off and trying to really make sure that he's right makes a lot of sense. Because the other thing that a lot of people don't necessarily realize, if you're playing with one injury, you're using things differently, you predispose yourself to hurting something else.
Yeah, I think that people don't think of that, but you're trying to not put as much weight on this side, and then something else gets injured. Kyrie Irving is another guy I wanted to talk to you about. He's back and playing at a high level for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had fractured his left kneecap in Game 1 of the NBA Finals last year. And I don't know, fracturing your kneecap is something you don't hear a lot about.
No, that's a weird injury, especially for a young guy like Kyrie. And one of those things that you know, if it was fixed and it sounds like it was appropriately, sounds like he's rehabbed, it really shouldn't have any long-term consequences, but probably just one of those fluke things that's one in a million, either got hit just right or bent it just right where it popped.
How do you fix that? I mean, did you go in and replace the kneecap, fix the kneecap? I don't know how.
No, you know, depending on what it was, you just kind of bring the bones back together, put screws or wires across it to keep the bone in perfect position to allow it to heal itself. You know, the kneecap is obviously very important in extending the knee because it attaches the quad muscles, the thigh muscles to the shin bone. And when that quad muscle fires, it pulls the forces through the kneecap to straighten that knee. And, you know, when it pops, you gap that. So the kneecap wants to gap, and you need to put it back together so it'll heal in
Boy, that sounds like a really painful injury. I would assume.
I would assume so, too.
Yeah.
But usually it's not in guys like Kyrie. Usually it's, you know, a car crash or, you know, an older lady who falls on it. So that's very atypical.
Interesting. Hey, last guy before we get to a break, Joel Embiid, who is, the Philadelphia 76ers, they are praying that, you know, one day he's going to get to play. But his right foot and guys that size, I think – he's had a problem with that foot for a while, but reading an article, they sent him to the Persian Gulf, and this place that they sent him has treated elite athletes from around the world that play different types of sports, including like soccer and tennis and track and field, and they're feeling really good about what he has been like since he's got back. And reading a quote, said the days were very rigid, very monitored, very disciplined. There's just no BS. The roadmap, and you have to, it's kind of, you have to be willing to do the work. It's boot campish. And one thing that they really talked about was, you know, they go overboard with diet, they go overboard with sleep, they go overboard with prehab and rehab and attention to return to play. But in that article, they talked a lot about one of the areas that he was really lacking was in sleep and how important sleep is to get back from an injury. And I've never read that before.
Yeah, and to be honest, I haven't really either. This was sort of interesting for me to take a look at when you brought it to my attention. You know what? That's I'm sure it can't hurt. And
right.
I think they're trying things, but what that sort of suggests to me is that they're sort of trying anything at this point. You know, I think if you think of the history of some of the big men in NBA history that have had similar injuries to this, and with Joel being out for as long as he has now, I'm less than optimistic about his chances to, you know, get over this for an extended period of time.
Did it surprise you when you read that they sent him to this place in the Persian Gulf?
No, you know, nothing really surprises me. I mean, there's people in Europe and things. I mean, you know, the people that try to do things in a different way and for a, you know, something that hasn't been working here, why not try something else?
Yeah, they got to try. They got to try anything. They've put so much money into this that they really have to try anything. We're going to continue our conversation. One thing we haven't talked about here in the past is cartilage restoration, and I think it's important. There's some questions I have for you regarding that. We're also going to talk about some basketball injuries. It's that time of year. And we'll talk about some of the most common basketball injuries and some of the things that have happened. Also, I read an article about Wes Matthews, and he had an Achilles rupture.
Yep.
That I have some questions for you on, and we'll get to that later in the show. In fact, I had a friend of mine that called me from Racine about a year ago. And he was playing in a, you know, a men's league, and he called me from his house Sunday night at 11 o'clock. He said, look, I need for you to come take me to the hospital.
Yep.
I said, what'd you do? He said, I'm pretty sure I ruptured my Achilles. When I went down there, picked him up, it was disgusting how that thing looked. And he's back. It's a year later, but he's back doing really well. But that's a tough surgery.
Usually not much mystery with it. You know when that happens.
Yeah, when he hobbled in to the hospital in Racine, the guy said, yeah, it looks like he ruptured his Achilles.
Yep.
And it was pretty apparent. So we'll talk to you about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Take you downtown, but you look like the kind that likes to take it way out.
That's Luke Bryan, My Kind of Night.
Not my choice, for the record.
No, mine either. So we're going to... Hey, we kept talking through the break, and we let the producer pick it. That's the end of that.
That's the end of that.
He's
no,
fired.
No more.
Luke Bryan, no more. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my special guest, Dr. Damian Kosempa. You can go to mymosh.com for more information on him. If you've got a question you'd like him to answer for you, you can go on Twitter, hashtag SportsMedRadio, and I'll get him to answer that question. Hey, this time of year, basketball, obviously tournaments, high school tournaments, college tournament is about to start. What are the most common injuries that you see now with basketball players?
Well, there's a lot of things that happen commonly in basketball. You know, the first thing you think about is the ankle sprain, and I don't think there are many basketball players that have not sprained their ankle at some point over the years. So that's one of those things that you know, usually is not the end of the world, out for a couple days or a couple weeks, and get back at it with a brace or some tape, and it's something that usually runs its course on its own. One of the other most frequent things that we see is just kind of the overuse stuff. So the tendonitis, the soreness, either in the tendons of the knee or the Achilles tendon. And, you know, certainly you start to think about some of the more worrisome things like knee instability. So, you know, the ACL tears, ankle fractures.
Meniscus.
Yep, which often goes along with the ACL thing. But, yep, those are the things that you think about.
You know, two quick questions on that. Stress fracture is and I seem to not quite understand that term, what a stress fracture is. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, stress fracture is just basically, bone is living tissue, and bone constantly is regenerating itself, healing itself. And when there's continuous stress placed on a bone without adequate time for that bone to restore and heal itself, it can actually start a small crack. So if you think of something like a piece of metal or a paperclip, if you bend it back and forth, eventually it's going to break. And
right.
Eventually a bone, if it were not a regenerating, self-restoring tissue, would break. And when it doesn't have time to do that because of overactivity or, you know, malnutrition or some other medical factors, it can eventually start to crack and break.
So if somebody breaks a bone at maybe right by their tibia,
yep.
and the doctor says it's a stress fracture,
yep.
it's a broken bone.
There's a continuum. So, you know, it can start by what we call like shin splints, which is just sort of an irritation of the lining of the bone. Then you can get to the point in that spectrum of a non-displaced stress reaction. So not quite a fracture yet, but a pre-fracture. And then beyond that, if you keep beating on it, it can become a fracture. And obviously it can hurt, but what you really want to avoid is the conversion to a full fracture. That's the concern, that a stress fracture can become an actual displaced break.
We are trying, and the reason I bring this up, my son had this injury his senior year in high school with 5 games to go.
Yep.
And we're trying to figure out, because I've talked about it in the show, my wife says, I don't think you're talking about that correctly, but it was a small bone right by his tibia, right down in that area.
Was it the fibula? Does that sound right? Was it a fibular stress fracture?
Well, it was a small bone, and it was you could see the crack, and the doctor said, look, I'm going to shut you down. There's no surgery, but I'm going to shut you down for a couple months.
Yep.
And my son said, can I hurt it anymore if I play? And the doctor said, no, but I don't think you're going to be able to play with that pain. And he said, it happened 2 games ago, and I've played through 2 games with it. The doctor said, if you can play through the pain, go ahead. And then he sat out for a couple months, and it healed, and it was fine. It's never bothered him again.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, there are all kinds of different bones that can have a stress fracture.
Yeah.
You know, probably the small bone in the leg called the fibula, so the one on the outside by the tibia, was what was involved there, and that's less dangerous. If you do have a tibial stress fracture, that's a little different deal because that's the weight-bearing bone.
Right.
And, you know, although it's unusual, that can break all the way, and that's obviously a big problem. You know, I think if you remember what happened in the tournament a couple of years ago, I think there was a guy in Louisville that broke his tibia in one of the games.
Yeah.
And you know, I never really heard confirmation of that, but I assume he had a stress fracture that, that probably broke there.
Boy, I think you saw that a million times. That one where it was really not, that was disgusting to watch.
Right, that was.
You know, you kept trying to close your eyes right when it happened because you didn't want to see it. Hey, the other thing with basketball that I, as a coach, a lot of fingers, a lot of finger sprains where it pops.
That's a really good point. Yes,
and we see a lot of that on passes, or if you're defending and you hit it just right, and people call it basketball finger.
Yep.
I hadn't heard that term before until probably 7 months ago, and somebody talked about it. But a lot of problems with fingers when you're playing basketball.
Absolutely, and if you look at any basketball player's hand, they've got a crooked finger somewhere.
Sure,
and. Most of the time, those are sprains of the joint, so of the joint capsule or the ligaments that keep the joints in place. And, you know, most times it's not something that is particularly worrisome or dangerous, but sometimes, especially in kids with open growth plates, you can break those areas, and that does sometimes require either immobilization and rest or occasionally even a surgery.
So when somebody pops that finger and a trainer, and I saw this a week ago, where a player was grimacing in pain and a trainer popped it, and the trainer just walked away. And they showed this on ESPN where the player was in severe pain and this guy popped it and then basically just walked away and went about his business. And this player went right back in and played again.
Yep.
But he was in severe pain for about, you know, 3 minutes.
Yeah, that was probably a little something different. He probably had a dislocation of the joint.
Okay.
So the bottom of the finger probably dislocated from the hand bone, and that probably was not the end of the story. I'm sure after that he had an x-ray the next day.
That's what,
those are the things that can happen with that. You can certainly break the bone, and if you break the bone or tear some of the important ligaments and tendons in that area, that can require intervention as well.
And then when they taped it, I never thought it was a myth, but I didn't know if that really helped these players, but it seemed to help him.
It can, yeah. I mean, it can help certainly from the perspective of immobilizing things to make it less painful, but it can also provide some stability. So you tape it to the finger next door, and that sort of acts as a natural splint to provide some stability there.
Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, I want to come back to talking about Wes Matthews, who is a player from this area, went to Madison Memorial, and doing some great stuff, played at Marquette, doing some great stuff in the NBA, but he had suffered an Achilles rupture, and I want to talk a little bit about that injury on a basketball player, and the fact that he's back playing at 100% is pretty impressive to me, because not all players that have had that have been able to return, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. Our special in-studio guest, he's Dr. Damian Kosempa. You can go to mymosh.com for more information, again, or you can tweet us, hashtag SportsMedRadio, and I'll get any questions you have answered from our special guest. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Downhill the river meets the sea.
Oh, welcome back. This is Buddy Guy.
And in this sticky
feels like rain. This is your choice.
It is.
Attaboy. Dr. Damian Kosempa. He is mymosh.com for more information. Before we get into the Wesley Matthews thing, you know, you live in that bubble of Mosh, and I don't know if you understand the amount of respect from the outside of that bubble that there is, but I've got a number of you know, people that listen to the show, family, friends, and people that work here that have now gone to Mosh because of the show and the people that they hear on it. And it's unbelievable that I get cards or emails or text messages saying thank you to me for recommending Mosh. And they talk about, and I'm telling you, it's all the way through. And the term is, it's a different experience than anywhere else I've gone.
Yeah, it's really a special place, and I've only been around for a couple of years now, but Dr. McCarty and a lot of other guys really put a lot of effort into making the place what it is, an all-around patient experience where everybody in the hospital, from the nurses to the doctors to the people cleaning the ORs and the greeters at the desk, are on the same page to make it an appropriate and good patient experience.
Well, it's congratulations on that, and you should be really proud of the work that you guys do at Mosh, because I think it's different and people understand it. And when I get a text message or an actual card in the mail saying thank you because the experience was so much different, I'll have people at work here ask me, are they treating me like this because of you and the show? And I go, no. That's the standard operating procedure there.
Yeah, they take care of everybody in the same way there, and really try to make it a great patient experience. But, you know, more than that, you know, that's all well and good if people are happy and being treated well there. But there's really great docs doing great things there, and I think that's the most important thing to remember.
And the teams that you guys have are incredible.
Yep.
The other thing that I'm a big fan of Mosh is the amount that you guys give back to the community and the amount of time that you guys put in at grassroots at the high school level with, you know, whenever I'm on the sidelines, I would say 90% of the time, there's somebody from Mosh there.
Yeah, 20-some high schools,
right,
and several other teams in the area. And more than that, just a lot of events as far as cycling and races and things like that. There's always somebody around making sure that you know, we can provide whatever service needs to be at these events.
Well, I'm really happy, and I want to thank Ann and Dr. McCarty, obviously, and all you guys, Dr. Pennington, that you're bringing this show back again to the 1st of August. We're going to go through the end of March, and then we'll take a couple months off and get back at it the beginning of August. And I just want to say thank you to the people at Mosh for allowing me to be involved in this and for you guys to be back on our airwaves. Hey, Wes Matthews, he is, again, a local guy from Madison, played at Madison Memorial, played at Marquette, and he's doing great things in the NBA. He suffered a really kind of a frightening injury, an Achilles rupture. And as doing some research for the show, that injury ended their career. 7 out of 18 players who they know suffered the injury between 1992 and 2012. And so that's an injury that can sideline you for the rest of your life. And this guy has made it all the way back, and he's playing a year after that injury and playing really well.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, it's one of those injuries where you can't say for sure you're going to get back from it. Now, step back, and I'm still a little bitter that Wes didn't go to Wisconsin, because I know they really wanted him.
Yes,
there.
Yes, they did.
But that being said, you know, he had a great career at Marquette, and he's really really become a good NBA player. You know, I think probably the difference between Wes Matthews' injury and a lot of these guys that don't come back is the age at the time that it happens. I mean, he must have been in his early 20s still.
Correct.
when
yep.
that happened, right? And, you know, I don't know. It's a little bit unusual for a guy in his 20s to rupture that. Usually it's an older guy thing, 30s, 40s, sort of the weekend warrior. But I think there's probably just a little bit better healing potential and a little bit more plasticity in the muscle recovery for a young guy like that, because I think he's kind of gotten back to it without missing a beat.
Hey, can we start, before we continue with that, can we talk just what does the Achilles tendon do and how do athletes injure it?
Yeah, so the Achilles tendon is what attaches your calf muscle to your calcaneus, to the heel bone. So when that muscle fires, it pulls your foot down, so, you know, pushing toe off. So it's very important in anything where you're pushing off, running, jumping. Typically it ruptures with a quick contraction of the muscle, and it just pulls too hard, and the tendon ruptures, you know, somewhere proximal to where it inserts on the bone. Typically, it's something that happens in older guys, the weekend warrior, because it's not a real high blood supply area, so there's always some degeneration of the tendon. And you know, when people get older, the blood supply diminishes a little bit, and it can just go with an appropriate contracture of the muscle.
women, men?
Almost never in women, nope.
Really?
Yeah, and probably hormonal to some degree, and you know, maybe based on the forces of the muscle contraction, but very rare in women, very common in guys, 30, 40, 50, playing softball, basketball, sure, soccer, things like that. Actually, I think Kobe just ruptured his Achilles last year. And,
right.
And, you know, although he's been a little bit banged up with other things this year, it looks like he's come back reasonably well from it.
Sure. We were talking to Dr. Damian Kosempa. Again, you can get more information on him at mymosh.com. You know, people that I know have had that happen. A buddy of mine that I talked about playing basketball, another guy playing softball, and he hit one, and he hit one in the outfield, and as he was leaving the batter's box, it ruptured. And he could have sworn that the catcher hit him with the baseball bat.
That's often what you hear. It's one of those diagnoses that you can pretty much make over the phone, because they tell you they feel a pop. They usually don't have a whole lot of pain, but they just kind of go down and they can't really push their foot down. You know, it's one of those things where obviously it hasn't happened to me, but I've heard the story 100
right.
times, and it's always the same thing. Felt this pop, not much pain. Sometimes a basketball player think they got kicked or hit by a basketball in the
sure.
back, and not the case.
The surgery part of that, pretty complicated or pretty?
No, not terribly complicated. I actually just did one yesterday on a guy who's 32 or so playing soccer, and the classic story. You know, there is some interest, especially in Europe, about treating them without surgery. So not everybody requires surgery for it. But for the most part, in my opinion, and in a lot of guys' opinion, the recovery is a little bit more predictable by fixing it from a standpoint of getting the tendon to heal, keeping it from rupturing again, and getting the strength back more quickly.
How long is the rehab process on a torn Achilles?
It's a good 6 months.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a long one then.
It's pretty involved. The tendon, to some degree, is pretty well healed by about 6 weeks, but the muscles really take quite some time to get back firing in their normal state. So a good 6 months, but some guys aren't themselves for a year.
Yeah, I would assume that the mental side of that has got to be a big part of it, because you've got to I would be afraid of that because of the pain that's involved, the pop, and then the recovery is so long, and there's some pain after, that the mental side of it has got to be a big part.
A lot of things, yep. Just the downtime, if it's your right ankle, most people aren't driving for several weeks, so it really puts a hitch into your life. So it's not just the sports, but it's being a boot, having to protect it with everything you do for several weeks after the injury.
The guy that had the surgery yesterday, what's going to be the worst week for him?
You know, I think the first several weeks are going to be tough for him with driving. You know,
yeah.
How's the guy get to work?
It was his
right
yeah.
side. Yep. Yep, you know, he's an active guy, he likes to play sports, and he can do without that, but you can't take off of work for 6 weeks, so it's just the arrangements.
Sure.
You know, it's not a terribly painful thing. Most people are pretty comfortable. It's a lot of taking it easy. It's a lot of dedication and rehab. But I think that, you know, after the first week where you're sore, probably the most difficult time is when you get 6-8 weeks down the line and you are starting to heal up, but you realize how weak you've gotten and how
sure.
much work it's going to be to get back.
Yeah. Hey, let's get to a break. We have not talked about cartilage restoration on this show
we've gone for hours and hours and hours about cartilage restoration.
Yeah. It's unbelievable how that category, there's been a lot of changes in it.
We've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go.
Yeah. We're going to talk to our guest, Dr. Damian Kosempa, about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dr. Damian Kosempa is brought to you, Chance the Rapper, All My Friends. Man, anything but country is what he says. That's awesome. Hey, we've got a call. Dave is calling. He's got a golf injury. Let's get to him first if we can. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
My call.
Yeah, you bet. Dr. Damian Kosepa from MyMosh is here. What can we answer for you?
Well, first of all, I'll give you my $20 copay before I toss out my question.
There you go. Send it to Mike McGivern.
At least 20, right, or more.
So my question is, I amongst other things, I golf a lot, and I've been diagnosed with a little mild arthritis in my left hip. I'm a right-handed golfer, and over time, I get pain in my glute and my knee and stiffness and everything. And I'm just thinking it's, you know, due to all the golf and wear and tear and shifting of the weight to your left side. Do you see this a lot in patients that you treat? And can you give me an idea what's going on?
I do. I mean, I do a lot of hip arthroscopy, so I see a lot of hip pain, and a lot of guys come in with a story just like yours. So, you know, some pain with activities and end up with a diagnosis of mild arthritis. You know, the short answer is that there isn't really an easy total fix, but you can certainly experience very satisfactory symptomatic improvement by keeping the muscles strong, keeping the capsule stretched out, really making sure that the whole unit is functioning appropriately to take the pressure off that damaged part of the hip joint. So if you haven't done it, either, you know, on your own, looking up some exercise or getting in with a physical therapist to strengthen the abductors, the core, the glutes, making sure that your gait is normalized to take some of the pressure and strain off these other areas. If you say that your knee's hurting you and things like that, can really help a lot.
You got that, Dave?
Yeah, I did. So you're kind of saying maybe build up the muscles around it to help.
Yep.
Protect the arthritis.
Yep. When one thing's injured, make sure everything else around it is working as optimally as possible is the bottom line. Yep.
Got it. And would you recommend getting an MRI done to have it checked out? Or,
you know, it depends. If you've had an X-ray, and it depends on how mild the arthritis is on an X-ray. I mean, if it's to the point where you're really narrowed down and there isn't much space.
I appreciate the advice.
The cartilage, you know,
sure.
MRI ends up not changing much most of the time. But if you have an X-ray that looks pretty normal and you continue to have these symptoms, getting an MRI certainly is very appropriate.
Dave, thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Hit that ball long and straight, huh? Hey, Dr. Kosepa, let's talk a little bit, and we've only got a couple of minutes. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I read this question online as I was prepping for the show, and I'm going to read it to you real quick. This guy had written in, and he said, I recently heard about cartilage being used in knee joints. Last summer, he was diagnosed with degenerate arthritis, moderate lateral compartment. Is that narrowing?
Yep, that sounds right.
Yep, and knee joint fusion in my right knee can no longer straighten, and I have some swelling. I've had two injections with help with the pain for a little bit of time, but I'm wondering if cartilage would help in his situation.
Yeah, you know, this again is a very typical story and a typical question, probably a middle-aged guy who's developing some arthritis in the knee. Now, in broad strokes, you can classify cartilage problems into two categories. One is more degenerative, which sounds like this, and one is more a traumatic acute thing. Cartilage is really the kind of the ultimate frontier in orthopedics, in that we can help and treat some of the acute injuries, but when it comes down to some of this more degenerative arthritic type conditions, we don't necessarily have great options other than symptomatic treatment, strengthening, and then eventual joint replacement.
Do you see some of that coming down in time to be able to help that more, or is it just something we have to live with? Because the older we get, I mean, getting out of bed sometimes is tough.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think so. There's a lot of good people across the world working on it. Cartilage cells are very tough, though. They're alive, but they don't repopulate readily. I think at some point we will come to the point where joint replacement is a thing of the past. But, you know, we're really not close at this point.
Hey, who was the ideal patient for something like that, for cartilage restoration?
Yeah, so a young, active patient with an acute traumatic injury and an isolated cartilage lesion. So somebody who, you know, twists the knee, maybe tears their ACL, and when the ACL tears, they knock off a piece of cartilage from the end of the thigh bone. And, you know, there's several options. Historically, we've kind of poked some holes in the bone to get some stem cells in the area. You know, mixed results for things like that. But we can take a patient's own cells, culture them, and reimplant them. Sometimes we can take cadaver cartilage and bone and implant it into the damaged area.
Wow. You know, it's come such a long way. When I was a sophomore or junior in high school, I had what was called a joint mouse, which is a piece of cartilage
floating around.
Yep. And the doctor who did this surgery, his name is Dr. Hickey, and he said, look, when I cut it, hopefully it's right there and I'll take it out. If I cut it on you know, the outside of your knee, if it's not there, I'm going to cut on the top. If it's not there, then it's got to be on the right side. And where he cut it, it was right there and took it out. But wherever that was floating was super tight. And it just floated, and I was in the hospital for like 3 days. Now it would be 20 minutes. And
it shows you how much things have changed. I mean, nobody would do that with an open procedure at this point. Put a little scope and camera in there.
Boom.
It would take 20 minutes. You get a little grasper, pluck it out, take a look at the rest of the knee joint. So it would have been a much smaller.
It just shows you how old I am there. Yeah, thank you for not commenting
on that.
I know, but you were thinking it. I have to tell you, man. Thank you so much. This is great. I love having you in, Dr. Kosepp. It's always a quick hour for me. And keep up the good work. You know, it's this time of year, being a basketball fan. Do you have? If you had to fill out your bracket right now, who you got winning it?
Hard to argue with Michigan State, but I think the Badgers might make some noise in the first couple of rounds if they can get some favorable matchups.
And if Showalter can knock down a shot and
absolutely
stop turning the ball over with that point guard, sometimes he drives me nuts.
Don't get me started, but thanks for having me on the show. Look forward to seeing you again in the fall.
Yeah, you bet. More information on Dr. Damian Kosepp. Again, go to mymosh.com for more information on him. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.